Father, I just thank you for what you've already done. I thank you for your people who are hungry and thirsty for the greater things that you have in store for them. And they came out tonight, Father, to be fed fresh manna from heaven. I thank you for meeting us during praise and worship. I thank you for setting the people's feet free to dance before you and to just totally and completely rejoice. And Father, just as the night goes on, you're still in control. You know exactly what you need to do, Father God, to set us free. So, Father God, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God says, ready or not, he's coming. He says he's giving you plenty of time to get it together. If you didn't get together, that's too bad. He's coming anyhow. Amen. Yes. And the ones who got it together is going to get it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. If this is a foretaste of what God's going to do Tuesday night, I can't. Well, let's skip Monday. All right. Right now, I have an ordinary streak in me, as you're somebody you know that I've been talking to. And I'm really trying to curb that, but I won't quit. Brother Allen said, you can really say something with a really straight face. All right, ready or not, God says, he's coming. I shouldn't have did all that shouting. I should have used the microphone earlier. Nahum 1:3 says, the Lord is slow to get angry, but his power is great. And he never lets the guilty go unpunished. He displays his power in the whirlwind and the storm. The billowing clouds are the dust beneath his feet. I thought that was interesting. Now, I'm going to read Jeremiah 23:19-32 because this is what we're going to talk about. Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury, a violent whirlwind. It will fall violently on the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it perfectly. And I believe we're starting to understand perfectly what God's talking about, what he's going to do to the wicked. I have not sent these prophets, he's talking about false prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, in other words, they'd set before the Father, and had caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesied lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long will this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? Indeed, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, who try to make my people forget my name by their dreams, which everyone tells his neighbor as their fathers forgot my name for Baal. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is a chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophet, says the Lord, who steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophet, says the Lord, who use their tongues and say, he says. Behold, I am against those who prophesy false dreams, says the Lord, and tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their recklessness. Yet I did not send them or command them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, says the Lord. See what God is saying about false prophets. They come forth with, and in the years that I've been in the ministry, I've heard a lot of false prophecies coming forth over the TV by so-called big prophets. And you know, and I'm sorry, but if I hear you tell a false prophecy from then on, I'm really not trusting what you have to say unless God says that is me. If you tell one false prophecy, you'll tell two, then three, then four, then five, and after a bit, right at bat, the enemy has you. So I'm admonishing each one of you here tonight who do prophesy, make sure it is the Lord prophesying and not you. because you have somebody's soul at stake when you start speaking into their lives. And that's why I don't allow people just to come in and start prophesying. You know, anybody can look good, can't they? They can smell good and everything else. They can sound good, but that doesn't make them good inside. And that's why, you know, I really don't like people coming in and prophesying over anybody here. And I still can't think you people are so gullible that after I leave, you let them prophesy over them. What is wrong with you? Whatever God has to say to you, He'll say to you during, through the service. He doesn't wait till the leader leaves and then start talking. You know, you need to watch. Don't be so anxious to get a word because the devil's there. He knows you want to get a word. He'll give you a word. And it won't be from God either. Are you listening? Come on. And all of you who are going out on the road, I've admonished you, only say what thus saith the Lord. Please don't discredit yourself and God. All right? And there's still a prophet that's really big. I mean, he has a big following. He's a big ministry. And I heard him tell a lie on the 700 Club, the other thing. What was it? TBN. And even the lady who was interviewing him, she knew that that wasn't true, but he was swearing up and down that God said it. And, you know, and God had already told me that was not true. I have a hard time with him now. Because if he did it once, he'll do it again. All right? Why do you want to give somebody a false word? What's wrong with you? You have an ego that's not from God. That's pride, and you want to be seen. You know, you just stop it. You destroy a lot of lives. We are in high-pressure days. It seems as if everything around us is in a great whirlwind. And it is in a great whirlwind. Lately, when I've been prophesying for the past year over you people, I've seen you in a whirlwind. And it's not that your life is bad. There's just a whirlwind of God in the atmosphere. Okay? The Lord would like to speak these words in this hour to those that have ears to hear what we're going to talk about. Deep down inside of your spirit, man, there is something stirring that you cannot explain, isn't there? It's that knowing that something is coming, that something has begun out there in the world that we cannot see, but we know it by the Spirit. We just know that we know that something is stirring in the atmosphere, and we're just waiting for it to happen, right? We are in a time like none other and on and in the earth. In the Word, we have reference points to go to that tell of similar warnings and events that took place in the past. Now, Genesis chapter 19. Now, when I was first born again in 1977, the very first thing God told me was, you were living in the days of Noah. So that's 30-some years, right? And I know it was going on before I got born again, but that was the very first thing that God told me. And then he started showing me scriptures where the preachers were doing things behind closed doors that they shouldn't be doing. There, it's in the Old Testament. And he started showing me all this corruption that was in the house of God. And I didn't know why he showed that to me, but then as years went on and he started moving me where he has me, I understood he was trying to get me, he was preparing me not to have my head stuck in the sand, and to look at the truth in the house of God and to understand really what was going on. All right? Each one of you in here tonight, that's your job. You shouldn't walk around with your head in the sand. You need to be looking at what's going on around about you. And you need to be hearing God's voice. Is this God or is it not? All right? I stood there tonight and God said, why don't you get water and throw it on the people? And I thought, no, I can't do that. All through the first song, you know, let my people go. Then he said, I told you what to do, now do it. And that's why we played the song again, because I had to be obedient, you know. And then God just took me over. But if you just do what God says to do, he says, if you just take the first step, I'll do everything else. And that's all I did was play it again and give me a glass of a thing of water, you know. And God did everything else. He was trying to set you people free. He's trying to get you ready for Tuesday night. Amen. Come on. Genesis chapter 19 tells us about when Lot separated from Abraham. He chose to go for the things that were more pleasing to his flesh and where he would have more abundant provision and opportunity for business trade. But in the end, he was stuck in the city where there was nothing but illicit sex, graft, stealing, and robbing, and eventually total desolation and demolition. Be careful. of where you go. Be careful of what you do. What's your name with the beard? Adam. Adam! He's going to wear a name tag so I remember that. He made the mistake of falling out in the spirit at my feet. And then God kept telling me to do things to him. And I thought, Lord, I kept looking around and do it to him. Did you feel anything? Oh, wow, thank you. I thought, I can't believe he's wanting me to do this. And I kept looking around. Chris kept saying, You know. So, you know, be careful where you fall. Because you fall at my feet, God might have me do something to you while you're laying there. Amen. Then, too, you might fall somewhere besides somebody that has a demon. And that demon might try to get on you, too. So you'll be have yourself covered when you go down there. All right. Even as the Lord. So anyhow, I said all that to say this. You know, Lot, instead of wanting to go where it was good land and everything, he wanted to go into the city where he thought he was going to prosper. And in the end, it caused him a lot of problems. Even as the Lord provided a way of escape, his wife still had to smell the stench of the worldly life in her heart, and she turned around to look one more time fondly over her shoulder at the home that she dreaded to leave behind. Genesis 19:26 says, but his wife, you know, Lot's wife, looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Tonight, I'm here to tell you that you do not have the opportunity to look back one more time at the sins or the life you left behind. You just do not have that opportunity. I told you a story about one time where God sent me to keep a man from getting in sin. And God said, don't push him, make him walk ahead of you and push him and don't let him look back. And he kept wanting to look back. God said, don't let him look back. But I could look back. And I looked back and this woman was chasing after him. And then, you know, and God said, don't let him look back. And then the woman was screaming and then she turned into a snake. You know, and then God said, don't let him look back. He kept wanting to look back. Don't let him look back. And then the snake turned into Satan. He stood up, you know, and that's why I know he's a handsome young man, blonde hair and blue eyes. He said, I'll kill you. I said, no, you won't. I was cocky then, you know. No, you won't. And he reached for him about then, and God put a glass between me and him. And he beat in that glass. He said, I will kill you. But all this time, God said, don't let the man look back. Don't let the man look back. So I kept pushing that man forward. If he would look back, he'd have died. Satan would have had him. Are you understanding this? The angels told Lot, do not look back. But the wife looked back. She still wanted the things of the world. And she turned into a pillar of salt. She died. Each one of you here tonight, it doesn't matter if you left home, loved ones, you know, or what you left, don't desire those things back again. They'll kill you. We have to keep moving on now. We have to keep moving forward. We have to keep doing the things God's called us forth to do. And it might not feel really good right now, really comfortable, but believe me, you will get comfortable. Even living in the lion's den, you will feel comfortable. You really will. And you'll have a peace that passes all understanding. Look at the days of Noah when he was mocked and laughed at in Genesis chapter 6, verses 8 through 14. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Remember, God said we're living in the days of Noah. So this was going on. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all the flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. You can read the rest of it when you get home. I just want you to see that God was a man that would walk with God. I mean, Noah was a man who walked with God, and Noah chose him to build the ark of safety for him and his family and the animals to be saved because he was going to destroy the earth. Now, why do you suppose the rapture is going to happen? God wants to save his people when he destroys the earth with fire once again. Now, some are going to be left behind. And you know what I found out? I found out they're going to be left behind because they're still in sin. They know God's word, but they won't get themselves totally right. And they're still in sin, so they're going to be left behind. But then they're going to repent, and then God's going to use them to tell the truth to the people that are lost. How about that for a little basket of apples? God showed me that a couple weeks ago. I said, I can't believe that. Well, I had a question before the Lord because I know people that are supposed to be left behind us that are not really walking with you, Lord. So what's going to happen here? So he told me. So I don't know who you are, what you're going to do, but that's the way it's going to work. God has to use somebody to bring in the lost souls even after the rapture occurs. Amen. I'm glad it's you and not me. I'm glad I'm going in the rapture. We need to understand that Noah did not build that famous ark in a month. It took a long, long period of time to build the ark out in the middle of the nowhere. A simple study of the Bible text shows that the time from when God told Noah to build the ark to the rain fell was no longer than about 75 years. I read that and I said, good Lord, 8 years is nothing for the glory, is it? He was building an ark for 75 years and everybody was making fun of him. But he kept building the ark. He kept walking with God. And finally the ark was built. And then you know the rest of the story. So just keep right on walking with God. Keep doing the things you're doing. It doesn't matter how many people are mocking you or making scorn in you or making fun of you. You're the one that's going to be fruitful in the end, not them. Who cares anyhow? Who cares if God vindicates you, really? Are you in it so you can be vindicated, or are you just in it because you just love the Lord with all your heart, body, soul, mind, and spirit, and you just want to do God's work? You just want to see people brought up out of the throes of hell, and you just want to see people saved and one day go to heaven. You know, I don't care if God vindicates me. Who cares? God keeps telling me he's going to, but I really don't care. I know what I know. I know what I've been called to do. I know what God's been having me to do, and I don't care if anybody else believes it or not. Amen. I hear there's a buzz in the community. There's a lot of talk about what's going on over here. And people are saying, we're going to go over there and see what's going on. So you know what? We're being talked about in the community, and it's good. It's good. So what we're doing is not for naught. We really don't care if the community comes or not, do we? As long as God shows up, right? That, I don't know about you, but that's all I'm caring about is if God shows up. I guess that's a little selfish, isn't it? Because I'm saying I want it all for myself. Amen. I know I do too. But then we have to share with the world, don't we, Adam and Aaron, right? We have to share with the world what God gives us. Because after all, there's people out there that don't know what we know. And they're lost and they're dying. And God wants to use us to go out there and minister to them. Right? All right, so it took him 75 years to build the ark around that time, but yet Noah obeyed God. If we read carefully, it says that the Lord himself drew the animals to the ark. My husband informed me of that about 5 years ago. He said, you have that all wrong. First, it is necessary to note that Noah was not told to gather the animals. He was commanded only to build the ark, large enough for all the animals, and simply receive the animals when they arrived. Genesis 6:19-20 says, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. See that? Thank you for sharing that with me, sir. I want to encourage all of you to understand clearly that a whirlwind is here. It is for the people who love the Lord, it is a good whirlwind. But for those who don't love God, it's a bad whirlwind. So we're going to get caught up in that world. I think we're already in the whirlwind. And God's just going to just show himself mightily to us and through us. And we're just going to be just having the best time of our lives. While others are going to be running around wondering what in the world they're going to do next. I was sitting there and God said, you know, if you think about Brownsville, he said, they built 5 churches. When the revival, during the process of that revival, they had to build 5 different churches. They had to keep enlarging the churches to hold the people that came in. How about that? So, you know, when they filled up their little church they were in, and then the pastor said, we got to do something here. So they built another bigger church. which they thought would hold everybody. And then, well, we got to do something. In the process, five churches were built. So don't just look for one building. Amen. Come on. You know, years ago, before I was, just when I was first born again, I was going to a church and I told the pastor, I said, I had a dream. And in this dream, we was in a great big auditorium. It looked something like a movie theater because of, you know, the pathways went down that way. And I says, and people were streaming in from everywhere. And the pastor said, wonderful, that means I'm going to preach to a multitude of people. But the problem was, is God showed me I was doing the preaching. And that pastor was bringing the people, showing the people where to sit. So God, what I'm saying is God showed me years and years ago. I never told that part of the story. I just left it. No, that's okay. I'll just leave that alone. So you don't have to tell everything. You don't have to be a blabber, even though I am. You don't have to be a blabbermouth about everything. Some things you can just keep to yourself, all right? So God told me way back then that I was going to be preaching to a multitude of people. That's 30-some years ago, guys. But at least it's not 75. Amen? So what I'm saying is, some of you young whippersnappers are going to jump on a bandwagon and just do wonderful things immediately. You're not going to have to work 30 years to get things accomplished because God's just bringing you in and cleaning you up and he's going to just use you mightily. So just get excited about that anyhow. Amen? And whatever you do when he gets you in here and cleans you up, I mean, I don't care where he gets you, but he gets you cleaned up and he's using you, don't stop. It doesn't matter what comes your way, don't stop. Just keep pressing in. I had a dream the night before last, and in this dream I was in this cage. You know how you put animals in a wire cage? I was sitting in the middle of that cage, and God said, see how they have beat you down? They beat you down to the point they have caged you in. So while I'm saying that to say this, even though people beat you down and cage you in, just keep pressing on. Just keep pressing on. And that was all the dream was that got awake. So, but just keep pressing on. You can press through the crowd. You can press through the dumb stuff that people do to you. You can, it hurts, but you can press through and you can go on and you can do the great mighty works God's calling you forth to do. Please always remember this. Don't let the crowd stop you. Keep going. And by the crowd, I mean those who ridicule and point fingers and beat you down. Don't let them destroy you. Keep on going. They didn't call you. God called you. Always remember that. No man or no woman called me. God called me. And therefore, you can't take me out. Amen. I want to encourage all of you to understand clearly that a whirlwind is here. In Jeremiah 23:19, God is talking about a whirlwind that he has sent, a violent windstorm. And you know, a lot of people, big pastor saying, oh, God's not going to touch America. He's not going to destroy America. He loves America. He's going to gather America together and everything's going to be wonderful. That's not true. God is going to destroy. He's not going to destroy all of America, but he is going to do some things in America to get our attention. For years, he gave me this scripture where two cities were going to fall overnight. And I would say to Brother Chris, I can't understand why I keep getting the same scripture. So I know two cities are going to fall overnight. But he also told me when he said, watch for the great earthquake. And when the great earthquake comes, you are not going to be able to recognize America when it's all done. There's going to be so much devastation. But see, this is why God is telling us not to put our eyes on it. We need to know this is going to happen, but don't keep our eyes focused on that. Keep our eyes focused on the fact of what God is using us to do, and that's to reap in the harvest, bring in the harvest that's out there ready to be brought in. And God said, if you're walking really close to me and where nothing can come between you and me, then he said, I'll keep you safe. Doesn't matter how many earthquakes comes. Doesn't matter how many tornadoes comes. Look at the tornadoes and the hurricanes or whatever's going through and wiped out whole cities right now. You know? One day I'm well and happy, have all the money, all the everything I need. Next day I'm sitting here with nothing. Right? Isn't that what's been going on? All right. In Jeremiah 23:19, God is talking about a whirlwind that he has sent, a violent windstorm. The false prophets have said, no bad is coming. Verse 17, God says, do they ever listen to me? I've said I'm sending a whirlwind, and it's going to fall on the heads of the wicked. How dare they say that everything is going to be okay? Where did he say it was going to fall on? The heads of the wicked, because he promised us if we're righteous and following him, it's not going to touch us. Isn't that what he promised us? And then the word he says is going to fall on the heads of the wicked. So let's read Jeremiah 23:19-26. Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury, a violent whirlwind. It will fall violently on the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it perfectly. Come on. We should be understanding what God is saying right now. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Now, I want to stop there and just ask you something. You know, a lot of people say, I don't like the way you preach. I don't like the fact that you say, you know, there's no gray area. Well, there is no gray area. I can't help if you like that or not. That's what the Word of God says. It's either black or it's white. You're either for God or you're against God, right? Well, I'm going to go to church that tells me about all about the gray area. You can go wherever you want, but that doesn't negate God's Word. There's no gray area. You're not supposed to be in sin. Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? Doesn't he? And he's not a far off God. He's right there beside you. I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesied lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long will this be in the hearts of the prophets who prophesy lies? Indeed, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. And so that's why I said there for a season, I wouldn't prophesy, because I had a wound in my soul, found out through Katie. And I just wouldn't prophesy because I didn't want what was in me to become out into somebody, onto somebody else. So I sat down. I wanted to quit, but God wouldn't let me do that. In fact, he made me get up every now and then and do something. But see, if you're messed up, don't be prophesying. If you know anything about anybody, let somebody else do the prophesying. Because all you're doing is you're trying to hear from God, and you've got all this other information in your head, and it gets all mixed up. So you need to keep your mouth shut when you're around a prophet, and don't tell them your business. If God wants them to know your business, he's going to tell it to them. And if he wants them to use them to speak to you about your business, he'll do that. So please do that. You know, people think, well, you can't talk to her. No, I don't want to talk to you, because at first you talk 5 minutes, next thing you know, you're telling me your life history, and I don't want to hear it, because then I'm no good to you. All right? Are you listening to that? Anybody's a prophet in here, you should live a sort of a lonely life, because you don't want to hear the people's life, because then you can't help them. You can't minister to them. What is coming is bigger and broader and wider and more destructive than anything else that we have ever seen. And it is. What I do know is this: there are people who are aware in the spirit that the only stronghold in place right now, a place of immunity and safety, is in prayer and in surrendering to all that the Lord is asking of them. In other words, God wants us to be in prayer and surrender ourselves totally and completely, 100% to him, everything that he's asking us to do. That's the only place of safety there is right now. Many of you are stretched beyond the point that no one can understand. Amen. We can all say amen to that, right? Their financial resources have been given and given again to help others, and yet their own supply seems to be dwindling, right? There are those who have poured into the lives of others, poured into businesses, poured into mentoring and training others, and yet it appears as if when they reach out, there's nothing left in the pantry for them. How many can say amen to that? If you can't, amen, I'll say amen. Come on. But then what did God tell me? He says, you're a caregiver, and don't let anybody make stop you from being a caregiver. So I have to remain a caregiver. I have to give out of a need sometimes. In other words, give when I myself need it. Are you understanding this? I don't have to, but I do, because if I didn't do, then I would be out of the will of the Father. And God said, if you do what I ask you to do, I'll take care of you. All right? Always remember that. The Lord wants those of you who have been giving to check your hearts one more time. If he told you to give and to serve and to sacrifice, then you can be guaranteed one thing. He does not withhold from those who have been faithful. I try to bribe him, and I say, God, you know I've been faithful. I've been giving and giving. Would you please give me a new car? But it didn't work. I said, it's time for you to give me a new car. That's what I said. It didn't work. 2 Corinthians 9:6. But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. 2 Corinthians 9:10 says, and God who supplies seed for the sower and bread to eat will also supply you with all the seed you need and will make it grow and produce a rich harvest from your generosity. See that? I want to encourage you right now in the spirit to understand the time that we are in is a time when nothing is making sense, right? When trying to apply the past patterns and methods or the natural way of living, it just doesn't work, does it? What you used to do does not work. Remember, God told me, quit trying to do what you used to do because what I have for you is so much better. Leave that alone. Even though it was good, I have something much better for you. So I really struggle with that because I wanted what we used to have, but God said no. So you might want what you used to have, but God's saying no. That was good, but there's something so much better for you ahead of you. It's going to take a determined, dogged, supernatural approach to understand the season, the days, and the times. And believe me, I have all three of those characteristics, and I've been trying to find out what's going on. Amen? God already understands all of this, but he is not going to communicate to people who will then try to communicate in natural terms to those who don't have ears to hear. Let's say that again. God already understands all of this, what we just said. But he is not going to communicate to people who will then try to communicate it in natural terms to those who don't have ears to hear. In other words, God gives you something in the spirit and you're out there with somebody who doesn't even believe in the spirit and you're trying to make them believe what you're saying. It isn't going to work. They don't have ears to hear and they're not going to receive. So quit. God told me one time, quit throwing your pearls to swines. I just kept on telling somebody something. He said, how many times do I have to tell you, quit telling them that stuff? Because they don't have ears to hear. Sometimes you just want somebody saved so much, you'll just keep telling them about the things of God, and they really don't have ears to hear. You're wasting your breath, and you're against God's will. I had that scripture down. I did this twice, didn't I? Or did I just read that? Okay. God's going to communicate truth and wisdom to those who are willing to allow their own hearts to go into the fire of refining and changing the way that they have done things in the past. Let's read that again. God is going to communicate truth and wisdom to those who are willing to allow their own hearts to go into the fire of refining and changing the way that they have done things in the past. So if you've been sitting on the bed putting your pants on, stand up and put them on. In other words, quit wanting to do the same thing you used to do. Now, if you have good balance, you have to sit down because you fall over. Amen. Psalm 111, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Difficulties require new strategies. Hard times require sober minds and a determination not to be towed under by destruction and despair. We are not to be focusing on the noise and the whirlwind around us in this world, even though it sure does draw our attention from the left and the right. We are to instead focus on a specific path, a narrowing of vision, and a one direction place. In other words, close your ears to all the clamoring that's going on around about you and just focus on the voice of the Lord and only follow that voice. Amen. And what exactly does all that mean? It means that we are to seek the face of the Father, and I mean seek to seek and to seek again continually. 1 Chronicles 16:11, seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face continually. How many of you have something before the Lord, you keep seeking his face about it, keep seeking his face, and he's just as quiet as a mouse. Doesn't say a word, just keep seeking. I believe one day he's just going to blurp it all out. Amen. We must break down those things that are holding back the move of God. Isaiah 2:12 says, the Lord Almighty has a day in store for all the proud and lofty, for all that is exalted, and they will be humbled. The Holy Spirit, this is God speaking now. Yes, the winds are blowing, and they are harsh winds, and some are absolutely destructive winds. Everything that does not stand under the power of my word and is not angered in me shall be shifted and blown and shaken, and at times the winds of drastic change will draw away the dross from the wheat. I am sifting and shaking and sifting again and again until my people understand they do not live in a time where making demands and commands to me operate well. So you can't make demands to God. He said, I'll give you a car when I feel like giving it to you. Amen. But my paint's coming off my car. I don't care. I'll give you a car when I feel like giving you a car. I'm looking for a people who will bow low enough before me and get quiet and seek my will for planet Earth. See, we're always seeking God's face for his will for our life. And he told me just about a month ago, why don't you ask me what I'm going to do in the earth? Amen. He's already told me how many millions of times what he's going to do with me. Are you listening to this? Now I need to know what he's going to do in the earth so I know how to operate. This world is fading away quickly, and mankind is corrupted each day more and more to go the way of the flesh. Isn't that true? Some of the things you're putting on TV right now is absolutely disgusting. You must put away the noise. You must put away the noise in your life and enter into the place where in the center of the storm is the eye. My eye is upon the righteous. My eye upon those that are fruitful and faithful. And fruitful to me may be different than fruitful to you. Let's say that again. My eye is upon the righteous. My eye is upon those that are fruitful and faithful. And fruitful to me may be different than fruitful to you. We might see something one way and God sees it an entirely different way. We might think we're not bearing any fruit at all and we're just bearing more fruit than we can even imagine. Amen. You cannot serve two masters, yet many have tried to justify the shutting away of my convicting voice when I have told them to go back and make right the situations where they have done grievous damage to others who are supposedly their family members in Christ. Let's read that again. You cannot serve two masters, yet many have tried to justify the shutting away of my convicting voice when I have told them to go back and make right the situations where they have done grievous damage to others who are supposedly their family members in Christ. If you cannot repent and get relationships right in the kingdom now, I cannot use you to forge new relationships in the future in my kingdom. If you have bitterness, anger, and jealousy in your heart, it will manifest with shaming and name-calling, as well as condensating and destroying another's capability to serve me well. All right? Somebody said to me recently, you can't forgive me. I said, my God, how many times have I forgiven them? He said, don't pay no attention to those words. They came from the devil. You have forgiven, now walk away from it. So, you know, don't let somebody come and tell you you haven't forgiven when you have. Amen. If I haven't forgiven you, your head would be in the gutter somewhere. Come on, that king and you would be dead. Are you understanding this? People, you know, who won't come to you and tell ask you to forgive them will try to make you feel like you're the problem and not them. Remember the man that God told me I had to go and ask him to forgive me because I talked about him. He said, well, I don't know if I want to or not. And I felt like slapping his face. But, I just stayed there, you know, and then I stood up and I said, well, it doesn't matter if you do or not. God heard me. And I've done my part. And the weight of the world lifted right off my shoulders. So it doesn't matter if they accept your forgiveness or not. God heard you and he knows your heart. And he set you free. Amen. It's them that stayed bound, not you. I will not deviate from my plan. This is still God speaking. The days of selfish ambition and immaturity are closely coming to an end. My light, my life, my word, and my ways are perfect. I will not deviate from my plan for the kingdom of God in the earth. He's going to do what he's going to do. It doesn't matter what anybody else. It doesn't matter what the church does. God is going to do what he's going to do. I am looking for a people who will not listen to the accusation of others, nor slander and destroy their brother and sisters because of another's opinion, or perhaps because they themselves were brought a loving correction or warning and instead turned around and shamed the messenger. All right? Do you need to hear that again? I am looking for a people who will not listen to the accusation of others, nor slander and destroy their brother and sisters because of another's opinion, or perhaps because they themselves were brought a loving correction or warning, and instead turn around and shame the messenger. How many of you going to people, God's had you go to people, and you lovingly warned them, and they turned on you like, I don't know what. They come against you and tore you down, and all God was trying to do was use the messenger to get your attention so that you would get yourself right and one day sit in heavenly places with Him. I see you all, and I am fully aware of the things that have been done in my name to hide behind selfish ambition. A judgment time is coming. Know this, I'm about to expose those who abuse the gifts, abuse their titles, and abuse the finances I have deemed for the kingdom. And I'm going to bring their names to the forefront to save their souls. See, so everything God brings that you're doing in darkness, He brings out the light, is for your benefit. It's to save your soul. Yes, the whirlwinds may blow and the storms and winds will be continuing to cycle and swirl, but I'm looking for those who are willing to stay in the center of my eye, where there is quiet and there is calm and there is discernment, direction, and wisdom for these devastating days. Early on in my walk with God, God told me, get in the eye of the storm and you'll never be touched. And that is true. And I found out every time I get out of the eye, I'm about crucified. So get in the eye of the storm and stay there, and it's calm there. To those in the center of my eye, I will pour out a wisdom beyond mankind's understanding, and they will rise up and have the words that will bring direction, correction, and light into dark places. Did you hear that? God wants to use each one of you tonight. Proverbs 22:12 says, the eyes of the Lord keep watch over knowledge, but He overthrows the words of the traitor. Proverbs 5:21, for a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and He ponders all his paths. God sees everything you do. He knows your heart. Stand prepared, for I am doing this thing regardless of whether man is ready or not. I am that I am, and I will have my way in the earth, says the Lord of hosts. For this is what the High and Exalted One says, He who lives forever, whose name is holy, Isaiah 57:15. I live in a high and holy place, but also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. Let's read this again. Isaiah 57:15. I live, God speaking, I live in a high and holy place, but also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit. In other words, He lives with you individually. To revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. He lives with you to bring you to a better place of maturity in Him. He lives with you to bring you up into the heavenly places with Him. Tonight I said, God, I want to come up into the fifth heaven. He said, well, I invited you to the seventh. I said, I'm coming. Amen. Then Him and I just had a time together during praise and worship. So what are you working for? Are you working just to stay where you're at? Are you working to go from glory to glory to glory? Are you working to go to higher realms in God? Don't be content where you're at. There's always something better for us in the heavenly places. Oh, boy, I really got it all. No, you don't. You're never going to have it all, guys. You're never going to have it all. Because there's always more to glean from God's kingdom. Always. If that's not the truth, then how come people like Katie is coming along and God's revealing all these secrets in His Word that nobody else got a hold of? You know, more than one person have been studying the Bible all their life and they died and went on and somebody else studies it and I didn't ever heard this stuff before. Are you hearing this? Each one of you sitting in here tonight, there's something in the Bible that God wants to, there's a secret in here that God wants to reveal to you and only you. And then what He's going to do is going to do like He did Katie. He's going to send you forth to reveal that to other people. If you talk to Brother Brett very much, you'll find out God is revealing things to him that I've never heard of. And what God is going to do with him is take him out to share this with other churches. I explained all that to him. So he has to stay in the presence of the Lord. Because if he doesn't, God will give it to somebody else. You know, he's not the only man on this earth. God will share that, give that to somebody else. Then what's going to happen is people read his books and they'll say, ooh, and they'll get in the Word and they'll glean more from the Word and then they'll write more books. You know what I'm saying? Then God will keep adding to what he's revealed to him and it just keeps going on and on and on. Now, I don't want you going around saying the world's going to end in a year. You don't know that. We just work for the Lord. Some people are talking about 25 years down the road. We don't know how long God, Jesus is going to let us here before he comes. And who really cares? Are we looking for a rapture or are we looking for Jesus? All right? Are we looking for a rapture or are we looking for a powerful anointing from our Father to drop upon us so that he can send us out into a lost and dying world and no matter where you go, you'll touch people's lives? Come on. God wants each one of you to carry an anointing that destroys every yoke. Not break, but destroys every yoke. That means wherever you go, in the marketplace, in the hospitals, wherever you go, there's that anointing in you is going to destroy the yokes in those people. And they'll be sitting there and all of a sudden, what happened to me? You pass by. Just like when Jesus passed by, you know. It's like when I was in this one church and I was sitting there. I didn't know what it was, but I know now because God talks about in his Word. Virtue left me. Touched that man and he started dancing and in the Spirit and speaking in tongues. You know, and you know, when you carry an anointing that destroys every yoke. And whenever you walk by people, if they have a sickness on their body, it just disappears. And you don't even know anything about it. Who cares if you know? You carry an anointing to set people free. Remember the story, I told you I was in a grocery store and this lady said, what'd you do to me? I said, I didn't do nothing, ma'am. Yes, you did. You walked by me. You touched me. I said, no, I didn't touch you. But when I walked by her, the anointing that destroys the yoke reached out and touched her and she was healed. Remember when I had a prayer line and this woman came up, she had a brace on her leg and she said, I said, what's wrong with your leg? She said, doctor said, I forgot what it was, but yeah, she's going to wear the brace all of her life, the rest of her life. So I knelt down to pray for her leg. She started screaming and said, when your hands touched me, I hadn't even touched her. She scared me half to death when she screamed. All I did was went like this, and you know, and I wasn't anywhere near touching her leg. She said, when your hands touched me, she said, I felt a fire go through my leg, and she took the brace off. She said, look what I can do. She still didn't have that brace on today. I didn't touch her. The anointing that destroys every yoke reached out and touched her. The hands of God touched her. Amen? I was, you know, this was in home church, and I said, I perceive that there are sicknesses in the body of Christ in here. And that was all I said on all the message. The next day I got a phone call. I thought the person was going crazy, screaming and carrying on. She said, I was in church last night, and you said that, and every bit of cancer I had on my face all dropped off, disappeared. I'm healed of facial cancer. Amen. I didn't touch her. But the anointing that destroys every yoke was in the church, in that my living room. And it reached out and touched her and healed her. See, you have to carry that anointing. And this is what God is trying to, he's trying to get us to that place where we carry that anointing. Are you listening? And you can do that tonight. You can get that anointing from God that wherever you go, people's lives are going to be changed. And don't be wanting people to say, oh, when you walk by, I felt something. That's pride. Don't want that. You just want the anointing that destroys every yoke to hit you. And you don't care where you go. You don't care what happens. You don't care who it heals. You don't care what it does. You just want it to be there. So wherever you go, it'll touch somebody's life. And they'll be set free. You want that anointing? You know where to go. You know the routine. Amen? Come on. The anointing that destroys every yoke. And all you do is walk by a person. You could just drive. Maybe you would just drive down the road, go by another car, and the people in the car are healed. The anointing in you is going to reach over and touch them. Remember, the anointing knows no distance. The anointing knows no distance. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. It's the anointing that destroys the yoke. God already set the scene when we first started praise and worship for this to happen. And the anointing is still strong and is still destroying yokes. Thank you, Father.